Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Hello, America. Happy Friday and welcome to the latest edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. We've got a great, great show for you today. People on the front lines of some of the biggest news going on in the country. I've said this several times. The battle going on down in Texas right now between the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, and his attorney general, Ken Paxton, and the federal government over who will protect the border and whether Texas has a right under the Constitution to protect its own border because the feds are not doing it by declaring an invasion. Well, it is going to be one of the most important court cases, not of this generation, but of all American history. It could be up there with some of the most important, Dred Scott and Little Rock and Roe v. Wade. That's how consequential this potential ruling is, because it's going to determine where the balance of power is between states and their federal central government. Well, today on the show, we've got the Attorney General of Texas himself, Ken Paxton, is going to kick things off at the top of the show. That is a big deal. Why is that a big deal? Last night, you might have saw me on Hannity. I broke the story on Just the News around 7, 8 o'clock. 10 former senior FBI executives. Between them, they have over 250 years of government experience. Between them, they've served 7 presidents and 4 FBI directors. They ran the counterterrorism, the counterintelligence, the intelligence, and the criminal divisions of the FBI. These are the top of the top. They're all retired now. They put their pen to paper, and they wrote a letter to House Speaker Mike Johnson and to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and the Chairman of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees and the House and Senate Homeland Security Committees. And their message was unmistakable. Yes, there is an invasion going on at the border. It's occurring not by force, but by young military-age men from adversarial countries coming into our country, China, Russia, Iran, and others like it. They said that it posed one of the gravest threats they had ever seen in American history, and it's unfolding right on our shores. It is a dramatic letter. Mike Johnson, the speaker, told me last night, hey, I'm telling you, this is why we can't settle for a compromise deal on the border. We got to hold out for a transformational shut down the border plan, and that is another sign. These FBI agents, I don't think we're intending to get involved in politics, but the debate on Capitol Hill will be defined in some part by this letter. And it's extraordinary, extraordinary claims. It's really an extraordinary letter. Go check it out. I broke it, justthenews.com, and it's a very important story. All right. In the second half of the show, we're going to bring you Congressman Barry Loudermilk. He's the chairman of the House Administration Subcommittee on Oversight and the man running the Republican investigation of January 6th, the Capitol security failures, and also perhaps a game of hide and seek, or even worse, misinformation from the Democrats' January 6th committee. Congressman Loudermilk is going to describe what's going on. He's going to break some news about the White House's cooperation with this committee. We'll have that in just a little bit right after Ken Paxton. And then we're going to finish up with one of my favorite forces in all of the parent rights movement, Erica Donnell. She's the wife of Congressman Byron Donnell, but in her own right, one of the most impactful parents, impactful advocate for parents and parents' rights in the United States country, served on school boards, has created a company for online learning and to help parents at home, and so much more. Erica Donnells is going to bring us up to speed on the fight over school choice, portable tax dollars, and education savings accounts, ESAs. You're not going to want to miss that. That is the cutting edge of American education. Erica Donalds will round things up right after we get started with Ken Paxton in a few moments, right after these messages. Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight's down. My health is up. My sleeping patterns are better. My metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Welcome back, America. We talk a lot about legal disputes on this show, but this time we're going to bring one that's really, truly a constitutional clash. The Texas governor has doubled down on border invasion declaration, his border invasion declaration, after the Supreme Court issued a 5-4 decision against Texas, clearing a way for the Border Patrol to remove razor wire installed by Texas along the U.S.-Mexico border. Since then, Governors Kemp, DeSantis, and others have supported the state of Texas and Governor Abbott's measures to protect his state from illegal immigration. Joining us now, the man who's going to inherit that constitutional clash and fight it out in the courts, Texas's great Attorney General Ken Paxton. General Paxton, great to have you on the show, sir.
Well, great to be on again. Wish we had a Supreme Court that would allow the state of Texas to continue to protect. And we're hoping that as we move on, they'll see the light and realize the damage that's being done by the Biden administration.
Yeah, this is such an extraordinary moment. And I think people are watching all across the country. All of our hopes are on this Texas case. So the Supreme Court's ruled, a lot of people think, well, doesn't that end it? But you have done a good job, I think, explaining to folks that this is not the end. There's a way to come at this from a constitutional angle. Tell us what is next in the legal battle.
So look, the Supreme Court basically just got rid of the injunction that had been put in place by the Fifth Circuit stopping the Biden administration from coming on to our property and cutting down fences and wire without our permission, obviously. And so the case now goes back to the Fifth Circuit to make a ruling. We still have to go through the trial at the trial court level, so it's not over yet. And on top of that, we have other cases that we're fighting, including the one related to Shelby Park, where the governor's taken over that park and not allowed the Border Patrol to use that as a launching point for illegal immigration. And we also have a new law coming into place in I think, March that will allow us to deport the illegal immigrants that come into the state, that the state gets all of them.
Yeah. Huge stuff.
I predict more fire coming when that goes into effect, sir. I wanted to ask you, though, about the constitutional side of things, because obviously, you know, that is the supreme law of the land. It is our guiding document. And there are a lot of folks out there who I think are trying to play the devil's advocate, and they say, well, you know, it's kind of a slippery slope. It's dangerous if a state doesn't like a Supreme Court ruling, so they decide to defy it. And I agree, that is a slippery slope. But I don't, and I want to ask you this because you are the legal mind here. I don't think that Governor Greg Abbott is defying a Supreme Court ruling. It seems to me that the Supreme Court vacated an injunction against the federal government. That's not the same thing, is it?
No, there's a couple of things. One is that it's we're talking about an injunction. Second, they did was say that the injunction is gone, so that supposedly the feds can cut down wire, but that doesn't mean we have to help them or that we're going to allow them under our property to do it. So we're not defying anything. They didn't order us to do anything. We sued them for cutting down our wire. We got an injunction stopping it. All that means is the injunction's not there right now. It doesn't mean the fight's over. And we also have additional provisions in the U.S. Constitution that I think protect us, that say basically if the federal government's not doing their job as it relates to an invasion, the state has the right to defend themselves. And so even if the Biden administration is not defending the border, they are not defending the citizens of this country. They're partnering with the cartels to allow all kinds of bad people to come in here, including terrorists. Well, guess what? We will defend ourselves just like the founders would have during their time if they were being attacked in Florida by pirates, which they did.
Yeah, such a great point. An enormous outpouring of support, General, from governors, DeSantis, Youngkin, Kemp, Stitt in Oklahoma, Noem in South Dakota. This is larger than Texas in terms of the ability of a state to defend its right to defend itself, right? That's why so many of the governors are coming along your side.
Yeah, I think it's amazing because I think it's sending a message to our court system, the Supreme Court included. It's sending a message to Congress, hey, these states, they're going to stand together and fight, even if the federal government is working with the cartels, even if they're promoting, you know, every effort of the cartels to move their drugs into the state of Texas and in our country, even if they're working with them to bring as many illegals through this country as possible, the states are saying, no, we're not putting up with it. We created the federal government, and we're going to stop this.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I think we're up to 18 or 19 states that have now expressed solidarity with the state of Texas. So that's a great thing to see. Sir, I wanted to ask you about the political side of this for the Biden administration. It seems to me that much like the economy, there's not really a soft landing. There's not a great option. If they don't do anything, if they just allow the razor wire to persist, they look impotent. They look like they didn't mean what they said. But if they send federal agents down there, Border Patrol agents, to cut the wire as people are flooding into the country, that's terrible optics as well.
I agree with you. It was terrible. You know, this is a lawsuit that I saw during the summer coming. I had that suspension period that was crazy, but I saw it and I came back and told my staff, this cannot be allowed. We cannot let the federal government just cut the wire in front of us and not do anything about it. And so now people are more aware of it. And as soon as they cut more down, they're going to get caught on camera. And the people of this country and these governors and other political leaders in Congress are going to see how insanely bad this is and how bad it is for the safety of our country.
Yeah, so important. And so you've done a lot to move this narrative, to educate the whole country what Texas has been through the last 3 years. Obviously, everyone feels it, but Texas is the front line, the front border. There is evidence now in the polling that as far away as New Hampshire and Iowa, that people understand that this immigration battle is the most important issue, even more important than a rickety economy. How rewarding is it to know that people around the country are resonating about the warnings you've given? And then two, how do you use that political support to get what needs to be done?
Well, look, I'm grateful because we started talking about this on day one when Joe Biden said he wasn't going to deport anybody. So, as you know, I've talked to you and Amanda so many times, I don't even know how many it is, but Yeah, I'm grateful that people have gotten the message. It is affecting Joe Biden in his race for president, and he is, I think, nervous about the consequences now, not because he thinks it's wrong to let the cartels bring these people in our country and transport all these, you know, criminals. He's worried about his election, and that may be, in the end, what causes him to lose the election, because now it's hard to walk back after 3.5 years of devastating ignoring of federal law and helping the cartels. It's hard to walk that back in just a few months before the election, and I think the consequences will likely be in November when Joe Biden gets wiped out by President Trump.
That's right. Mr. Attorney General, this issue of illegal immigration affects all 50 states. It affects all financial demographics, all racial demographics, all age demographics, especially with respect to fentanyl crossing our border. And just this week, legendary comedian Dana Carvey, his 32-year-old son, died from an overdose of cocaine and ketamine, which, of course, in large amounts can be fatal. But it was the introduction of fentanyl into that potent cocktail that ultimately killed him. Again, this is something that affects all Americans, especially what we saw in New Hampshire. Is that going to be the driving force behind illegal immigration being the number one issue for voters?
I think it is. I have so many friends that have kids that have died just that way. Not that particular drug, but they were laced with fentanyl and they didn't know it. And these kids are dead.
Right.
And I know too many families just like that. And so I think that's the issue that I think Americans are going to really care about, losing kids unnecessarily because the Biden administration has allowed this.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. Sir, we got about a minute left. I wanted to ask about the consequences to Mayorkas. For the first time, Congress is going to draft impeachment articles against the Homeland Security Secretary, first time in 150 years against any cabinet secretary. How important is it for Texas that those impeachment articles pass the House?
Look, I think it's really important. This guy has not just not done his job. It's not like it's just incompetence. He has affirmatively helped the criminal cartels in Mexico and the Chinese get their drugs through this country. And that sounds really extreme, but look at what they've done. They are the people that the cartels are bringing to the border by the thousands every day and by the millions every year. They're not hiding from the Border Patrol. The Border Patrol, under Mayorkas' control, is being told, you help them get across. They're not told to like catch them anymore. People used to hide. They don't hide anymore.
Right.
And so I think the fact that this guy has not just ignored his constitutional role and his statutory roles, he's literally helping the cartels bring horrible problems to our country.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. Congressman Barry Lautenbach, chairman of the committee investigating January 6th. He'll join us from Georgia right after these messages.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
He has relentlessly pursued facts, not fiction, not theories. He's gotten facts. And as a result, we are a lot wiser about what failed, what went right, and what we still don't know about January 6th as a result of the House Administration Subcommittee Chairman for Oversight. He's Georgia Congressman Barry Lautenbach, and he joins us right now. Congressman, great to have you back on the show.
John, Amanda, it's good to be with you again. I kind of feel like I'm part of the staff now. We spent so much time together.
We're going to get you a chair and a bottle of water. You're going to be here soon. Sir, the last time we had you on, you tickled my ear because you said, hey, we are making a request to the White House for documents that we think they got sent over to them from the January 6th committee. It's odd that Congress would try to unload its documents to the White House, a separate branch of government. I know there was a deadline. I think it might have passed earlier this week. Can you tell us, has the White House complied?
Well, they haven't complied yet, but at least they're communicating, which is different than Department of Homeland Security. There were even more documents sent to the Department of Homeland Security that we're trying to get back. They won't even acknowledge the letters I send. At least the White House, as I shared with you before, after a couple letters, they hesitantly and reluctantly did send over the documents, but they were so heavily redacted that they're basically unusable.
Right.
And so our follow-up letter was reemphasizing, these are House documents. They are not White House documents. They belong to the House of Representatives, and you need to send them immediately in a full unredacted form. As of yesterday, which was the deadline, we did receive correspondence from them asking for a little more time. I don't know how much time you need to take documents, put them in an envelope, and send them over to the Capitol. I mean, it's that simple. But I am hearing from the staff that we may have received something from the White House to the extent of they may let us come and look at the documents. So that's unacceptable. Yeah, it's unacceptable. These are House documents. They belong to the House of Representatives, and I expect that we will get them. I believe we're just going to have to go ahead and subpoena and see where that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
The time doesn't change the facts. I don't think he expected you to tire out and just give up. It's kind of remarkable. I wanted to ask you about the nature of what's happening in Atlanta with DA Fannie Willis. Unfortunately, Atlanta, like a lot of big cities, has had a history of corruption. I think it was just a few years ago, another DA in the Atlanta area, Dick Donovan, was under fire and I think ultimately resigned from his position. For Fannie Willis's part, her relationship with Nathan Wade, why is this important? And I'm not saying criminally, but optics-wise, politically, ethically, why is it such a big problem?
Well, it's a big problem from several angles. One is she's having an affair with the person that she's hiring to investigate the former president of the United States. I mean, there's beyond nepotism. There's, you know, this personal relationship going on. As we're finding out now, he had apparently been paid by the White House, was on the salary of the Biden administration, or at least contracted by them, to look into this. And we find out that he or she or a group of them was spending time with the Select Committee, January 6th Select Committee staff, going over records. And my interest in this is, what records were they going over? Are they given access to records that we have been denied access to? What is it that they were looking at? I sent a letter to Benny Thompson once we uncovered a letter from Fannie Willis to the Select Committee. We found buried in some of our documents to where she was asking access. There were no other correspondence, which raised suspicion. You would expect the Select Committee to respond in writing saying, hey, well, you know, tell us what documents you want. We'll send them or a list of documents that were provided. There was nothing. So I sent a letter to the former chairman of the Select Committee, Benny Thompson, asking him, what documents did you provide? And he told another news outlet that they didn't provide any documents, which was interesting because their Select report said that they did provide documents. And so now he's saying, well, of course we supplied documents. There's nothing wrong with it. Well, I didn't say there was anything wrong with it. I think it's highly suspicious. I just want to know, what did they get? So I can see if is there any more documents that have been hidden or deleted or sent away or disposed of in some way that my committee does not have access to.
Yeah, such an important question. I mean, it's not more than a process question, because what you really have now is a triangle, right? You got the White House, a prosecutorial team, and we have to assume maybe the Justice Department also could have had contacts, and then Congress, and they all seem to be working together on something that normally law enforcement and legal standards would say, hey, the prosecutor does their work, the White House stays out of it, we don't do political interference. How far will this go? Will you, we started the top of the show saying, hey, Justin News has asked the Attorney General to help us get our records. Will there be a request for records from the Fannie Willis office with their contacts with Congress and the White House? Will you eventually go request and subpoena if necessary?
We will. Now, that may be in conjunction with my good friend Jim Jordan, who actually his committee has jurisdiction here.
Right.
I will, to the extent of her engagement with the Select Committee. And so one thing that Speaker Johnson has done is he's empowered us to use all the tools we have available in our toolbox to pursue the truth, get to the truth, subpoena who we need to. He's given the full weight and support of his office behind us and has even tripled our staff at this point. So his dedication is to get to the truth, as is mine, because American people deserve to know the truth.
Yeah, that's all they want. They just want the facts. Yeah.
Yeah. Congressman, I remember when I first heard about these 100 files that were deleted by the Jan 6 committee before Republicans took control. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't think they're gone. If you can refabricate a hard drive, these have got to be retrievable. And lo and behold, you guys have recovered those files. I know that some of them, or at least I think some of them, were videotaped testimonies and depositions. Were there documents? What was the nature of these 100 files? And why would they delete them?
Well, I don't know that any of them are videos. The problem we have is they're password protected. We know some are documents, some we really can't tell what they are. I'm just asking for the passwords. First of all, why were they hidden or deleted? Some of them that were covered were deleted. And interestingly, was the date that they were deleted. Some were deleted on January the 2nd or January the 1st. If you remember, January 3rd was the day that the Republicans officially took over Congress. So literally in the last week, some of those documents were hidden. Some of them were deleted, but we were able to recover them. Some of them weren't password protected, and we found that some were related to the documents that were sent to the White House. This is one of the ways we were tipped off that the White House had documents. And so one of those documents was deleted on January the 1st. And that was around the same time that Benny Thompson sent the letters to the White House. I don't think that's a coincidence. The others are password protected. They're encrypted. We cannot get into them. So I sent Benny Thompson another letter asking him simply, where's the passwords? We need the passwords to these. And in his three-page response, which mostly was accusing me of being ultra MAGA and just trying to vindicate the president and that I'm part of the crazy right wing, he finally ended saying, I don't know what you're talking about. So either he's not telling us he's obviously not giving us the password. Either he's telling us a lie or he had no idea what his committee was doing over the past 2 years. Somebody knows the passwords and we're going to keep pursuing till we get the passwords. Now, these documents may turn out to be nothing, but my suspicions are that there is something there because they're not giving us access to them. Otherwise, they would say, yeah, here's the password. There's nothing to it.
Yeah, it really is remarkable. So I want to turn to another important area of your investigation, Cassidy Hutchinson. Because of your good work, we learned that there was this errata sheet. She changed her testimony. She was her story evolves many different times over 8 months. You sent her lawyer a notice. Preserve your documents, be prepared to be questioned again. And then, of course, her other lawyer who has had his privilege waived by her, Stefan Passantino, he's agreed, I believe, to cooperate. Can you bring us up to speed? Will you get, or are you getting any sign that you'll get cooperation from Cassidy Hutchinson?
Well, I'm going to use a term that you used earlier, crickets. That's what we're hearing so far. But I believe our deadline for the preservation and for them to turn over all of the information requested is tomorrow. So we're waiting, hoping that they don't follow the same path that the White House and DHS is just stalling and ignoring our request, because this is the first time since the Select Committee that we're able to get not only Cassidy Hutchinson, but Stefan Passantino as well, and compare their stories because of her waiving her attorney-client privilege. That's this huge. Has opened the door and will help us to get to the truth. Why did she so significantly change her testimony? It also gives us the opportunity to look at her testimony as compared to others, which I believe those White House documents and the Homeland Security documents, which we're confident are Secret Service agents. How do those two testimonies line up? These are people that were with Donald Trump who would have been firsthand witnesses to what she claimed he did, the trying to grab the steering wheel or trying to choke a Secret Service agent. Yeah. She was not there, but heard them talking about it. These are testimonies by people who are there. And I believe that's probably why we haven't been getting given access to it, because more than likely it doesn't line up with the predetermined narrative of the Select Committee.
Yeah. Go ahead, Amanda, please.
We have about 30 seconds left. Peter Navarro is now going to spend 4 months behind prison. We're defying a January 6th subpoena. Do you think that what you are uncovering, what you are bringing to light, could have any impact on those sentences with respect to commuting or reversing?
Well, it depends on what is in the information that we have. But the first thing I did was when I saw that news article came out, I sent it over to our team. And my question to them was, if someone defines our subpoena, is the same punishment going to apply to them? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be equal justice across the board if the White House doesn't respond to our subpoena? This White House, will they be facing the same type of punishment? That'll be interesting to see as we go forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sir, just one quick question, about 30 seconds left. This administration started a full Democratic rule, two chambers of Congress and the White House, saying we're going to be the most transparent. They're redacting documents. They're password protecting documents. They're sending them to the White House, and the White House sends them back, and you can't even see what's in them. Have they lived up to their transparency? What message do you want to send to them tonight?
That if you want transparency, just be honest, be open, send the documents, let us look at them. Look, if there is national security information in it, which is what they're claiming because it's the operations of Secret Service and certain White House personnel, then why did you allow National Geographic to embed in the Trump Secret Service and do an entire documentary that's out there for streaming on Amazon Prime? You know, I'm not going to release national security information, but come on, let's be honest. What is it that you're trying to hide?
Folks, one more good one to go. Erica Donalds, one of the most impactful parents in the Parents' Rights Movement today. She'll join us to talk about education savings accounts, portable school choice, and so much more on the tsunami of education reform that is on Americans' horizon today. We'll have that in just a few moments.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
All right, folks. Welcome back from the commercial break. If you've been watching just the news over the last 2 or 3 years, you would be hard to ignore that there is one of the greatest parental rights movements, and I really think children's rights movements in America, restoring the right of parents to have a say over their children's education, and taking it away from bureaucrats who think that it's their job to teach morals and values and politics to children, when really what they should be teaching are just the educational skills that children need to be successful in life. And so the battle royale is underway. If you go back and say, how did this all get started? And there's different flashpoints. Certainly COVID was a big part, but this really started about a decade ago. And my next guest, she was at the flashpoint when this all started. She's the founder and CEO of Optima Ed. She's a guest faculty member at the Leadership Institute School Board Programs, where school boards are being taken back by parents. What a novel idea that is. She's also the wife of one of my best known favorite friends in Congress, Byron Donalds, joining us right now. Erica Donalds. Erica, great to have you on the show.
John, thanks so much for having me. It's great to talk to you.
Your work is extraordinary. And I think it's fair. We were talking about this off air.
You were in this before it was cool to be in this, but the groundwork, the spade work, a decade of parents digging in and saying, hey, what's going on in the education system? Not right. It really started about a decade ago, right? We're probably in about the 10th or 11th year of this work.
You know, you got me thinking, what got me involved as a parent, you know, we have three boys, two are still school age, one is in college, unbelievable. But what got me awake, and a lot of parents awake, is Common Core. Back in 2008, 2010, where they changed the map and parents were just going, what are they doing? It's coming from the federal government. You know, the state should be making these decisions. It did start the movement of parents knocking down the doors going, who's making decisions on behalf of my children and shouldn't I be more involved? And as you mentioned, I was elected to school board here in Southwest Florida in 2014. And that's where my eyes were opened as a mom, as a CPA at the time. I looked around and thought, man, this system is broken. It is not responsive to parents. Parents don't really know what's going on in the decisions that are being made for their children. And from there, it really has ignited a movement where parents are doing what we should have done and frankly what our parents should have done a long time ago, which is take back our schools and really give the parents' rights movement the fuel that it needs so that we're not leaving it to unions and the government to tell us what to do with our kids.
Yeah, it really is pretty extraordinary. I think I first noticed something amiss or unusual or feeling different. I think it was at the time I was the editor of the Washington Times. And we saw this speech. It was one of the American Teachers Union officials, executives, testifying before the United Nations. And they laid out this agenda. And I remember watching it and saying, hey, I got to get a reporter on this. What's going on here? And these teacher unions were telling the UN that America was going to become the model for a new education system where parents who didn't know better could have their children taught by teachers who knew better. And it was such an extraordinary speech. I remember getting a couple of reporters on it. We wrote about it. There were some op-eds and it just played out for there. And I think the teachers unions and the bureaucrats and the leftist NGOs, they won the first decade. And then along came COVID and parents had their kids at home and they're like, you're teaching my child. What? And all of a sudden, I think the second wave of the movement began. Is that chronology sort of match up with what you were watching at the time?
Well, absolutely. COVID definitely pulled back the curtain for a lot of parents, and especially suburban moms. I remember starting our first charter school here in Collier County back in 2012, and my neighbors were upset with me because me starting a charter school to move my children meant that the school that their kids were in wasn't good enough for me, and they were offended by that because they take pride in their A schools in their suburban neighborhoods. And those same moms are the ones who were, as you said, seeing what was being taught in the classrooms, many also dissatisfied with the low level of expectations and rigor, as well as seeing teachers on vacation who are saying that they will die if they have to go back to school in person. And meanwhile, the parents' lives are upended having their children at home for an extended period of time. So I think the COVID crisis, both in education and across the country, the economy and everything, that really brought moms out of their comfort zones because they trusted teachers, they trusted the schools, they thought all they needed to do was move into a good neighborhood with, quote, great schools, and their job was done. But they know now that unions are not out for kids, they're out for adults, and that the standards in our schools were so low, even in the schools that were considered good schools.
Yeah, it's just remarkable. We're passing through students who really don't have the skills that their diploma would suggest they have, and it's such a capitulation to failure. It's really destining this country to some difficult futures if we don't reverse it quickly. I started my career in the 1980s in Wisconsin, where there was a governor named Tommy Thompson, and he started school choice, and it was a pretty novel idea back then. Very controversial back then, but he partnered with a black Democrat lawmaker from Milwaukee, Polly Williams, I think was her name, and they started this in Milwaukee, and then Michigan jumped in, and there were some early successes to school choice. And then it kind of fell out of favor. Common Core came in. And over the last 4 or 5 years, school choice has really bubbled back to the top of really important conversations and successes, whether Arizona with its universal school choice plan. This is National School Choice Week. You've been at the forefront of really developing, I think, wave two, or maybe it's wave three, of school choice experimentation and success. Tell us what's going on and why it's so important to disrupting the path of failure that's been going on in public schools.
Well, when I was on the school board for 4 years, that's all I could take. I didn't run again. I looked at all of the problems in the public school system, and I boiled it down to one major issue, and that is the monopoly, right? Monopolies do not work in any area of our economy. They certainly do not work when it comes to something as important as the service of education to our children. And unfortunately, that monopoly has had a stronghold for decades and really actually a century. So my solution coming out of that experience on the inside was that competition is the only thing that is going to reform education in this country. And that has actually been proven out in my home state of Florida over the last 25 years, where we've had school choice. We've had charter schools, magnet schools, virtual school available here in Florida. Not enough people are able to take advantage of those because of the differences in funding and things like that. But those who do, we see our charter school sector outperforming districts in 81 out of 96 measurements, including reading performance, math performance, closing the achievement gap. Students who are in our private school choice programs, 42% more likely to attend college, 20% more likely to achieve a bachelor's degree than their public school counterparts. But the most important school choice outcome is happy children, happy parents, children who love to learn, whose parents have found a school, an academic experience that works for their child to thrive. No matter what their outcomes in the future, being productive citizens, being active in our democratic republic, these are outcomes that are even more important. And I think school choice and really education freedom with all of the new ways of accessing that through ESAs and the like, which I hope we'll talk about, brings out innovation and access to people who need it. And that is what's going to allow an education system to thrive here in America.
Yeah, it really is. And it really is wave two. I think the universal school choice, the idea of portability of the tax dollars, and the idea that schools have to compete to get the students, which, you know, makes the schools more responsive to trying to help these students, all are the driving forces of this. What are the most important experiments or early programs of what I would call school choice 2.0 or maybe even 3.0? Where are the best experiments right now? Clearly in your home state of Florida, a lot of success. Where else?
Arizona has a universal education savings account ESA program where over 50,000 students are currently taking advantage of these private accounts, government funded. Parents can use those accounts to pay private school tuition. They can homeschool, purchase curriculum. They can hire tutors, get therapies for their children, other instructional materials. They can actually customize the education experience for their child in some incredible ways. So I think Arizona is definitely out front on this. Oklahoma passed a tax credit for education, which I think is wonderful because we are seeing so much red tape and bureaucracy. No matter how hard these states try to give education freedom, they have to wrap it in red tape for both providers and parents. I love Oklahoma's experiment with the tax credit, refundable for parents to be able to spend their money, keep their money, and spend it on a great education for their kids. You know, we're always talking about or directed to look at parents who may not make the right education choices. Well, look at our education system. It's not like they're doing a bang-up job. I absolutely trust parents far more because the vast majority of parents care more about their kids than anyone else, and they want them to have a great education. If given the tools and the funds, they will do so.
Yeah. We had Ryan Walters, the state superintendent of public instruction at Oklahoma, on the show a couple times, and he's really, really digging into a lot of these big experiments. Obviously, once you get going, there is this countervailing force called the teachers unions. Talk a little bit about just how far the teachers unions have gotten into politics and how politics sometimes seems to override even their educational interest right now. I think The unions are trying to rescind their endorsement of Joe Biden because he's standing by Israel. These unions have become such political mechanisms. It seems like children and education are like low down on the priority list.
Absolutely. I would encourage any one of your listeners who wants to have a good laugh, go look at one of the agendas for a conference of one of the teachers' unions. There is virtually nothing on their agenda that isn't political, culture wars. It's not about teaching children to read and do mathematics. Despite the tragic results that we've had compared to other nations, that we're trying to compete globally on academic level, and these teachers unions who represent the vast majority of teachers across our country are distracted with all kinds of nonsense. They're worried about political campaigns, to your point. They're worried about Joe Biden standing with Israel. Who cares? You're supposed to be teaching our kids how to read and write and do mathematics, and you're not doing that well. I am a huge proponent of things like Paycheck Protection, which Florida passed last year. I don't think the teachers' unions belong in our public schools any longer. Their time has come and gone. I have so many stories from being a public school board member about why unions are not good for students and the outcomes that we need.
Yeah, it's just remarkable. I keep a close eye on your Twitter account because I think you are such a fount of information about the data that's coming up. Because, listen, this isn't just an ideological battle. Conservatives think one way, liberals think the other. There is overwhelming data coming from academic institutions about what's going on. And one of the places where I think there was just a new study in the last few weeks, maybe in the last day or two, was on the impact of SEL. And a lot of people don't know what SEL is, but it is pretty amazing. Social, emotional, or political issue learning is basically what it turns out to be. Tell us a little bit about, I think you're familiar with this study, what it found and how students who came out of SEL training or instruction, what happened to them personally.
Yeah, let's start with what is SEL. This has been around for quite a while, and it also went under the radar for a lot of families before COVID. But this is social-emotional learning where teachers were expected to be like therapists, you know, teaching students how to manage their emotions and how to deal with difficult situations at home. And again, once again, a distraction from what they are supposed to be doing in class. But this study that just recently came out said that students, after completing an SEL program, were more depressed, more anxious, had more difficulty managing their emotions, and had worse relationships with their parents. So this is a failed experiment. I know one of the private schools my children went to had a huge SEL program. Once the parents read the things that were in these materials that were being used on the children, they revolted. They were so upset that they were talking about these sensitive issues with their children without parents even knowing about it, suicidal thoughts and things like that, that they got rid of that program in that school. And I think it's more about, you know, parents need to know what is being taught to their children. And this study is great because it shows us it's not even working. Stop trying to be therapists and teach. Stay in your lane. Teach what you're supposed to teach.
Yep. It would be help if just the basics of learning were the focus of our teachers and our teachers' union. And then, by the way, there's lots of great teachers, but the unions often are at the forefront of hijacking those teachers' intentions or even their opportunities. It's remarkable to watch. Tell us a little bit about what you've created with Optima Academy Online. It's a pretty darn interesting initiative you've got going.
It is, and it actually came out of the need for a distance learning program in COVID. You know, we wanted to create the highest caliber program that we could with our classical liberal arts curriculum in order to deliver that to our students who were not able to come in person. So Optima Academy Online is the world's first virtual reality school. We have our own classical liberal arts curriculum that we're delivering in virtual reality when you're taking live courses. The other materials are online as well through Canvas. And our students are going to school 4 days a week. They're interacting with highly trained, classically trained teachers and really rigorous material. So we're very excited. This is our second school year. And we are tuition free in the state of Florida, in Arizona, using their ESA that we talked about earlier, and many other states, approved in Oklahoma for their tax credit program. Everywhere that we can access public funds to give parents an excellent school choice option, Optima Academy Online is there and available.
Yeah, so important.
We have mentioned DSAs, but I would like to dig in a little bit, because I think when you take school choice, particularly universal school choice and ESAs, there's a continuum that maybe the earlier school choice movement of the 80s and 90s didn't have. ESAs are a very important part within the tax code and within the learning environment for parents to make sure they have a place to park money and use it in a way that benefits their children. What is the arc of ESAs? How are they catching on? Are more and more parents using them? How important are they to making this continuum of school choice completely successful?
Well, I mentioned in Arizona, over 50,000 families using ESAs. In Florida, the universal program was passed just last year, not even quite a year ago, and over 500,000 applications for ESAs have come in Florida. And we're seeing more and more states pass this. Arkansas is one of them in litigation. I think there are 13 states that have some sort of ESA program. The biggest issue we have, though, is parents don't know that they're available. I have a mission. Every time I'm in an Uber, I tell the Uber driver about this free scholarship.
Ubers are the new town hall, isn't it? It's sort of funny.
Yeah. Well, they talk to so many people. I want to make sure that they know, right? And many of them don't know that their child could go to school for free to a private school, and they're so excited to hear about it. So when they do hear about it, though, then there's a red tape I mentioned earlier. And that's why we need governments to stop thinking they know better than parents. Give parents the funding and give them the freedom to make decisions. And then let the free market work. Innovation cannot come about with the stifling red tape of government. And so if we really want to see the free market work in education, the innovation that we can't even imagine today, we've got to let go and let parents decide. Let them be consumers for their own children and act in their own interests. And let's get the government out of the way. That's the only way to reform the system. What we're doing is not working. We got to get rid of the monopoly and open up the free market to innovation and access for all.
Yeah, our founding fathers, every time they saw a problem in the country, they realized that competition in the open market would create the best solution. Not a big government creating it, not a big union, but just old-fashioned competition. And you have opened, along with so many other really important players, you've opened up an entire era of new competition in education that really is so impressive. One last question for you. Obviously, your husband's in Congress. There's a big election occurring in 2024. And there's a lot of parents saying, you know, I got to get the kids to soccer practice. I'm homeschooling. I got to do all these things. What is the best advice for a parent who really wants to make a difference in this next 10 months? What can they do to make a difference with, you know, limited time and limited resources and maybe even limited training to get engaged in the political system and make a difference?
Well, this is where the Leadership Institute is there for these parents. I was trained by the Leadership Institute more than 10 years ago before I ever worked on a campaign or got involved in politics. I had no idea what I was doing, but they showed me how to be an effective activist. How do I even get involved in a campaign? How do I go to my local school board and be effective in telling them what I think about the policies that they're passing? So the Leadership Institute has all types of programs, whether you're just wanting to understand the process, whether you want to get involved as an activist, or maybe you want to run for school board or run for office eventually. So the Leadership Institute is an incredible organization. They do so much good for helping people to get involved and really understand the process and how they can make a difference in their communities or even nationally.
Yeah, such important. It's funny, just a little bit of training can go a long way when you first step into a new arena like a school board or an interaction with a teacher or the school system. There's nothing like having a few minutes of good training and good advice before you go into that, because the other side has unlimited resources. And so it's really beneficial to, if you're going to dive in, to get that training. Such important work. Erica, what's the best way for folks to follow your great work? You're prolific on Twitter, and I check you often because you find so many things that other people don't know about. But what are the best ways for folks to engage you and all the good work you're doing, as well as the incredible academy that you've put together with Optima Academy Online?
Yes, definitely find me on social media. As you said, I am the most active on Twitter, but at Erica Donalds, Erica with a K. And I would love to connect with anyone. I love interacting with people who are like-minded or who have questions or even want to debate. Optima Academy Online can be found at optimaacademy.online. So optimaacademy.online is the website. That's where you can find courses. If you're not in a state where you need curriculum or courses, we also have VR field trips that are educational. So if your student does have a VR headset, they can actually do educational things that they will enjoy very much in that headset. So OptimaAcademy.online.
For us old folks, VR is virtual reality, and it's really, it's become so real life. It's really an amazing experience. I had no idea how real life VR has become.
Well, they get to go to ancient Rome, go to the moon and learn about the lunar landing. Independence Hall, we have an amazing constitutional experience. So we're using it for good to spread the truth, good, and beauty of a classical education.
How about that? Pretty awesome stuff. Erica, what a great honor to have you on. We're watching all the great work you're doing. This really is, I think, a watershed year for education. The momentum is building for school choice. School boards are being taken back, you know, community by community, and ESAs are starting to spread around the country. Disruption, but competitive disruption that I think is going to be for the good of our children. And it's great to have you on helping us understand that incredible dynamic.
Well, thanks for all the great work you do, and I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, we'll be sure to get you back on real soon, because this year is going to be pretty consequential, particularly in education. So great to have you on. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. Always a big thank you to our great guest today, General Paxton, Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, Congressman Barry Loudermilk, the Chairman of the January 6th investigation, and Erica Donalds. Three great guests, three big topics, three historic events unfolding in the country today. It's really pretty remarkable. Now, before we go, I also want to reach out and remind you that we have an incredible partnership, really from the beginning of Just the News, with my good friends at Birch Gold Group. And I think you, in this time of extraordinary economic volatility, should consider diversifying with gold from Birch Gold Group. For decades, gold has been the choice of investors and central banks. That's important. To hedge against inflation. Now, you can own it in a tax-sheltered IRA with the help of Birch Gold. Text Just News to 989898, and Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on gold to help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into an IRA in gold. I bet you didn't know you could do that tax-free. And the best part, you don't have to pay a penny out of your pocket. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, thousands of satisfied customers, you can trust Birch Gold. Text the word Just News to 989898 to claim your free info kit. Just News to 989898. So I got to text. Text the word Just News to 989898, and you'll get started on securing your savings right now. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. A big blessing. Have a great night. We'll be with you tomorrow. We've got another great show for Saturday, in the last Saturday of January 2024. We'll see you tomorrow. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.